Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. It's the week that was a county final weekend. The county captivated by some of the best football you're ever likely to see. Well, not really. More on that anon. But there were some good games. There were some great moments. And three clubs in our county are still celebrating as we record this, I have no doubt. John Gunnigan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. I'm good. Didn't get into a Monday club yesterday or indeed a Tuesday club, but I'm sure there are plenty who are in that or were in that situation and are still in that situation today, Tuesday night, Tuesday evening. So, yeah. Three captivating finals, I think you'd have to say, for very, very different reasons.
Listeners on this feed know what this is all about. On patreon.com/Mayo Podcast, we have tons of podcasts. What number are we at the moment, John, for the year so far?
I think it's 133, but I stand to be corrected on that.
Wow. Already broken our all-time record. And all of our club members make that possible. You guys who tune into these update pods, or some of our club members maybe listening in as well, just to get the highlights of what has gone on over the weekend, you know what it's about. It's us telling you that this is where you go to get some of the greatest coverage of Mayo football. This is where you go to get coverage of the club championship, which has gone on for just a little over 10 weeks, junior, intermediate and senior. And it culminated in three Final Whistle podcasts over the weekend, all released within an hour of the full time whistle for our listeners. And I think the record was for the junior final. Laherdown fans could have barely got into their car and they would have had a podcast, John, with all the interviews. So, yeah, that's what we wanted to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, that's right, actually. I think the last bit of audio that we recorded on that junior final, the band had struck up and the parade had started in the senior finals. So, and there was a very tight turnaround between matches, you know, so that gives you an idea of just how tight it all was.
So the week that was started with the previews. Now, most of that content was for the there and then, but there's one clip I wanted to pick out just to give you a little sample of how we set the scene, John. You picked out Owen McGrath, Kilcommon footballer and a man who knew both finalists in the junior final. This was part of a special podcast to preview the junior final between Laherdown and Shrewd and Carb.
Yeah, this first clip is from Owen McGrath of Kilcommon, and we asked Owen to talk about the junior championship, because obviously he has played in it, he knows the finalists. But in this clip he explains to Mike just how hard the junior championship is to win.
Just maybe tee it up for people who would be curious about, well, what is it that makes this junior championship so difficult to win?
Yeah, so the junior championship, realistically, it's a rabbit hole that nobody really wants to fall into, because at the end of the day, there's no more than the intermediate. There's always a good few teams that are able to compete in it. Like in junior at the moment, there's probably 6 to 8 teams that are competing, trying to get to, obviously get to the semi-final, get to the finals, to being in the chance of winning it. That's just the hard thing with this. Like, we had a tough group again now where you'd Achill, ourselves and Arda in our group. And like, realistically, any of them three teams could have gone, had a good push going forward in the championship. It was unlucky now one of them had to go into the junior. And obviously best of luck to Achill in the final in the junior championship as well. But it's just how it is. And even seeing what other teams that gone to the semi-finals the year before, were, for example, Clala, who got knocked out in the quarter-final stage to a good Eastern Gales team. It chops and changes a lot, and it is a tough championship across the board. Like, everyone wants to get to the promised land, but there's a lot to get in between it before you get there.
The voice of Owen McGrath, who kindly joined us to chat junior football before the weekend. And what we like about good analysis is when you sit and watch a final and it all starts to play out exactly as was said. I don't want to go that far, but he certainly gave us a really good setting. What surprised me about that junior final, John, is just that both teams really went at it in their own styles. Laherdown with the running game that ultimately run it for them, but Shrewd and Carb as well with a real kind of kicking game that created scoring opportunities, and there was some brilliant point taken from them as well in that final.
There was, yeah, and there was a similarity, I think, to the junior and intermediate finals in that both teams didn't sit back and they went out and tried to win it with positive football. And in both finals, the advantage swung back and over before it finished up the way it did. So I actually enjoyed both of those finals, and I guess we had a bit of high hopes, and it turned out to be false then about what would happen with the senior final, but we'll get on to that in a bit.
Our preview week included Colin Boyle and Gerard Flanagan setting the senior and laying it out for both the junior, for both the senior and intermediate finals in separate podcasts. But let's get on to the content that is still fresh in the minds of everyone, with the aftermath, our final whistle podcast. We've decided to put it in order of the finals rather than necessary as they appeared, starting with that junior final that we're speaking of there. A massive win, John, before we listen to a clip from the winning manager, Eddie Conroy. What a victory for Lahardone. 1 year after getting relegated from the Intermediate Championship, they're back, and they're back off the back of a pretty comprehensive performance in a final that wasn't, you know, was fairly evenly matched.
Oh, it was, yeah. And I think Owen McGrath said that, you know, when you fall into junior, it's down into a rabbit hole you go, and it's very, very hard to get back up again. And, you know, Shulk and Glencorrib would be an example of that. Swinford would be another one recently. So Lahardone have done really well to bounce straight back up, and to do it playing the kind of positive football they did was really excellent. And yeah, I mean, you could see the reaction afterwards. They were absolutely delighted at having achieved what they had set out to do at the start of this year.
In our junior final podcast, we have audio from a number of Lahardone voices, and really we have the kind of the moment straight afterwards, a really good analysis from John Mahon as well. So hopefully you've enjoyed that already. If you're not already a member, sign up, patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. But to give you a little clip, I caught up with the Lahardone manager, Eddie Conroy. The band was playing in the background ahead of the senior final. I think there's a general consensus across the board from Mayo officials that maybe they should have given a bit more time between the two finals. I think that's common sense now. Maybe we can talk about that afterwards, John. But here is Eddie Conroy talking to me as both Brafey and Balnau warm up for the senior match. Eddie Conroy, you're hoping not to be the only happy Brafey man in McHale Park today, but what an incredible day for Lahardone GA to bounce back. Very few teams do it. It's been a huge effort.
It's a huge effort for the lads. Like, we started out at the beginning of the year, we had a great league. Once league was over, we focused on championship, and we knew. I said at the beginning of the year when I met them first, like, what did they want? Where did they want to be this time in October, at the end of the year? What did they want? And every one of them said they wanted to be in a county final and to win it. So we're here. We've done that. We're back up. We're a very rural club. We're there's only 30 on the panel. So, you know, it's very rare to have come down to go back up again. I mean, it's not just what I've done, it's what they've done on the pitch that makes it special.
So. I love the fact that you're saying a small panel, because you used that panel today in a county final. Key players making an impact in those closing stages. It was a huge effort from the whole team.
It's huge. Like, it's not, like, I keep saying to them, and I said to them at the beginning, we'll probably finish with our strongest.
Yeah.
And that's not disrespecting to anybody. Like, we've a bench there and they're all footballers. So it's easy to work with footballers, then more so than not. Like, so it's, look at it. I'm very delighted for every one of them. Even the lads who didn't get on, I feel for the lads who didn't get on, I feel sorry for them. But look at, there's always, at least we've another day to bring out for them. So it's great.
It was brilliant to be down there among the celebrations. And we're kill telling people Lahardone are a rural club. They're hidden away. They're battling against the grain. But it's all true. And they're a great club as well. And they deserve all the plaudits they're getting.
Oh, they do, surely. And as you say, in that final whistle pod, club members will have heard the voice of John Mahon, who had two nephews, I think, on the team. And obviously, as a former manager of the club, and you know, who led them to their only previous county junior title, he was obviously a very proud man as well, and he had a lot to say about that. We decided to hold back on that, though, Rob, on this pod, because we have more from John Mahon later on in relation to the senior finals. We thought that we'd hold him back for that particular topic.
We're building towards that, John. We're building towards that. Lahardone, I have no doubt, will do Mayo proud in the Connacht Championship. More on that in future podcasts, but we'll keep an eye on them. They're back in action in a couple of weeks' time. But But let's, before we move on, it is worth just touching on something I said before that interview, John, which is like, it's probably the only drawback of that junior final is it just didn't give the supporters and the players enough time to properly take it in. An extra half hour was badly needed there in terms of the celebrations, the trophy presentation, all that kind of stuff. Now, that said, I'm not sure too many Laradon players will be remembering that. They'll have enjoyed themselves anyways, but it is something to look at.
It is, but at the same time, I think the double header thing is right.
Yes, agreed.
And I think, you know, there were some justifiable complaints, I think, that the Junior B final wasn't played in McHale Park and that it could have been played there rather than have been played in Park. It could have been played ahead of the intermediate final. And I do think it does lend a sense of occasion to the thing, that if you have two matches on like that. I mean, I guess I know that the problem is if you're the undercard, you are going to get hooshed off fairly unceremoniously. But I don't think Kilardon would have been too
not
upset about that.
Not a bit of it. Couldn't care less. Barely noticed, I would go as far as to say. And their fans had plenty of time to meet them outside underneath the stands. Right, moving on. Intermediate final, which was on the night before, on the Saturday. Ballinrobe taking on Kilmina. And once again, in what has been an incredible short period of time, maybe we'll say a 6-year period, Kilmina are celebrating a county title. They're second. They have an All-Ireland title in the middle of that as well. And they've gone from junior to senior football. They had to dig it out in a real battle. You love this game, John. And it was pure just mental strength in the final maybe 6 minutes inclusive of injury time that told for them.
Oh, yeah. And it was really a game that swung one way or the other. And, of course, it was graced by probably the finest goal scored in club football this weekend. I mean, Kevin Quinn's goal within the first 5 minutes for Ballinrobe was an absolute stonker. And it has justifiably gone viral on social media since then. And that really set the tone for this game because it looked like Ballinrobe were in the driving seat early on. Kilmina somehow went in a point in front, having not really played well at all. And then, you know, when they got the first goal, it looked like they were going to win it with a bit to spare. And then Ballinrobe fought back really well, you know. So it was, you know, I thought it was a really good match. Kilmina's, I think their greater experience told in the end. But Ballinrobe made a hell of a battle of it.
We have a few voices to hear from this on our highlight show. We had lots of voices on the Final Whistle podcast that came out straight after the game. It went in an hour or so. We need a bit of time to gather the audio, of course. But once we've done that, our producer, Keane McNicholas, put it all together rapid quick. You picked out our analysis piece with the great Billy Fitzpatrick. It was great to hear him on the pod, friend of the pod again. And in particular, you picked out one part that you enjoyed on it in terms of thinking about Kilmina's future.
Yeah, and Billy is great because he places things in such historical context. You know, he was describing about 1971 or 72, you know, and then in this piece, what he was obviously referencing John Riley in terms of a great manager. Obviously, he was talking about, in his case, Father Martin Newell, who led Gary Moore to all those great successes, which I remember back in the 70s. So, yeah, I thought this is really good in terms of signposting where Kilmina need to be thinking about going next, having made it all the way from junior to senior.
I want to ask you that, Billy, because you mentioned Gary Moore, like you talked about the rise. Well, you've been there ever since in senior. If you had a message for the Kilmina club, if you were sitting in a room of planners for the future, for the next 5 to 10 years, like is this as good as it can get, or how do you make it sustainable? How do you do a Gary Moore on?
Well, it's not as good as it can get because They're winners now at this stage. We spent a long time losing, and we were losers. We were lucky enough to get a man that really instilled that winning steel into us and the winning how to win, Rob. And Father Newell did that, of course, for us.
John Riley's doing it for Kilmina.
Well, this is it. Like, yeah. You know, you need a head. You need a man that inspires the lads. And now, you know, they have to think big now. There's no point in thinking, okay, we have done this now and that's enough for us. No, they have to think further ahead now and really go for the big time.
The voice of Billy Fitzpatrick, great to hear him back. We hope to chat to him again soon. Moving straight on to the star of the show. And by the star of the show, not necessarily man of the match on the day. Jack Kearney had a real battle with James Murphy, and the Ballinrobe man didn't let himself down, I don't think. But when he went off injured, it's no coincidence that just seconds later, Kearney suddenly gets himself free. Now, I have to say, may not be entirely just directly related to that. It's also related to the fact that Jack Kearney's been there, done that, played intercounty football and knew where to be at the right time. But it might have played a small part in it. He got free, kicked a worldly point to put his side ahead again, having after they had fallen behind, and they didn't look back after that. So yeah, it was great to hear from Jack Kearney afterwards. You picked out a clip, John.
Yeah, I did. And that was basically Jack just saying that they, you know, I think Mike was asking them, well, you know, how are they going to take this? And he was saying, well, they may as well just ride the wave and enjoy it all. And what I really wanted to include a clip by Jack, because we had him on the Final Whistle pod after the semi-finals, and club members will have heard that. And he's obviously a very, very interesting guy. He's a deep thinker. So it was good to have Jack on again, and it's good to showcase a clip from him from Sunday, from the final.
Just to finish, Jack, I know the game isn't long over, but when do you think it'll sink in that Kilmeenia are a really bona fide senior championship team? Will it possibly be the first round next year, maybe?
Yeah, it could take until then. It's
even
all,
when you say it out loud, it's it has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, that I know. We're probably sick of us harping on about the last few years, but they all roll into one really, and it's all a bit mad. And I think we may as well ride the wave while it's here, keep building on that momentum. And I'd say we may think about it maybe when we're old, sitting back in an armchair. Because at the moment, we may as well ride our luck and ride the wave, keep enjoying our football and playing games with a smile on our face, and you never know where it'll take us.
Brilliant stuff. As I said, Laradon will probably do Mayo justice in the Connacht Championship. I think Kilmeenia will be feared by all intermediate county champions across the five counties, six counties, because London, of course, involved in this as well.
We were talking about that, Rob, at the weekend, and I think you're right, because they're both very well equipped for it. Like, you know, Laradon got to an All-Ireland final. Kilmeenia went one better and won an All-Ireland. So it's not as if they don't know what's facing them. And I think they could be well up for a good run at it.
Brilliant stuff. Moving on, the Final Whistle podcast for the Senior Final. Wow. That got listeners for a number of reasons. It got Ballina people tuning in, understandably, on the glorious day for their club and the return to the top table after what they would call an epoch in terms of a long wait, but since 2007. But I think John Mahon made headlines for his commentary on Mayo GA TV about the game. The game made headlines, 6-4. Needless to say, it was everything the scoreline suggests. An absolute dire battle. And you picked out the main man, John Mahon, on his analysis on our podcast as well, where he went into a little bit more detail of his frustrations.
That's right, yeah. And this was very much in the moment analysis as well, because Mike was speaking with John, I think, within 10 minutes of the final whistle having sounded. So this really was final whistle stuff. And John, you can hear the frustration in his voice at having witnessed the game. And he speaks at some length, not, you won't hear it all in this clip, but club members would have heard the rest of it. He speaks at some length, just his frustration about the standard of football generally now and how it has deteriorated as a spectacle.
So, John, how would you reflect on the 2023 County Senior Final? What are the first thoughts that are forming? Game over in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Mike, as you know, and anybody that witnessed the County Final will be just so disappointed. It was not a spectacle that did justice to the occasion. It was so disappointing. It was a terrible viewing, to quite honest with you. One of the worst, arguably the worst County Final I have ever seen. Both teams didn't perform. It was very difficult to pick a man the match, and I thank God we didn't have a replay. That's all I say, because if we were to witness anything like we witnessed here this afternoon, it would have been unfortunate. But I think that's the consensus, and I'm getting a lot of messages into my phone here from people right around the country, and abroad who sat to watch and paid to watch the game on Mayo TV, and they certainly were embarrassed. And certainly if you're a Mayo person and you were surrounded by others from different counties, you would be embarrassed to say that's the best we can produce in a county final. So all in all, I have to say I personally was disappointed with it. And now that said, Ballina, Steve, nice won't care. They've won the first county title in a long number of years of trying. Braithwaite will feel the opportunity pass them by, because after taking two big scalps en route to the county final, particularly Westport, who were the favourites to win this championship, and Castlebar and Mitchells, they just didn't perform at all. And I think their scoreline would suggest 4 points after 65 or 66 minutes of football. It's not certainly good enough. But as it happens, 6 points was for Ballina Sheepness.
From John Mann, let's jump straight to our next clip. Eamon Clark, former Knockmore manager, a man who knows what it takes to win a senior title in Mayo. Again, there was no hiding from it. He spent a bit of time on our podcast just underlining how well Ballina had done in developing this young team and what a great victory it is for them. But understandably, he also had to spend some time on what we watched in terms of a contest and where football is going right now. This is Eamon Clark's take.
Yeah, well, it's all about holding on to possession. It's a disease in club football at the moment, and intra-county football as well, is to hold on to the ball. Don't lose the ball, no matter what. Now, we watched the intermediate game beforehand, and we had a great game of football. Beautiful to watch. And unfortunately, the senior final was hold on to it. Don't give it away, no matter what you do. Don't take a risk. Don't take a shot. Playing out, playing back. Boring football, terrible for people to have to watch.
Yeah, before we settle in on Ballina and move on from the quality of game and just acknowledge this great triumph for them, John, you picked that clip out for a reason.
Yeah, well, you see, I think we were faced with that choice, if you like, or that dilemma, if you like, in relation to the final whistle pod itself, because we knew on one hand, we have to cover this. We have to cover the quality of the contest. But at the same time, we have a club that has achieved a long-standing aim, and there's huge joy around that as well. And we wanted to capture both. And I think we needed to do justice to both the things, because we knew this was already, you could see, this was going to be a national story. And I have to say, like, it is deeply, deeply ironic, I think, that the poster child for negative football turns out to be the Mayo County final. You know, we have been bemoaning all year the fact that the county team can't bloody defend properly and keep coughing up goals at all the wrong times. And now suddenly, we are the sort of up there in lights as the exemplar of all that's wrong with football and how it's become too defensive.
Brilliant. I mean, it is so true, John. Like, of all the things we could be accused of over the years, I never thought the day would come where someone would say Mayo, they're killing football in terms of entertainment and quality.
Now, in fairness, a lot of the criticism as well was, like, you had two teams who, as they say, proverbially couldn't kick snow off a rope. Like, to have scored 3 points from play, and one of those was fisted over. And, 10 scores in 65 minutes of football, no score from the 43rd minute to the 65th, I think. Yeah. I mean, that was probably a longer, I think Braithwaite, did they go longer than South Africa in the end in terms of a scoreless run, in a match, something like that? It was just,
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, the clock is still ticking on time without a score for Braithwaite, unfortunately. But yeah, there was only maybe a few players in the game that gave you real sense of purpose and confidence when they carried the ball. And I was in the podcast, the Final Whistle podcast, Eamon Clark picked out Pádraig O'Hara, which I think was right. Because for me, you could pick out, trying to pick a man of the match was next or near impossible. But for me, I thought he was absolutely critical. And it was just that every single time Pádraig O'Hara was on the ball, it was like he was in a different game than most of the other players in terms of possession and go. I was going to say go forward ball, John. What a rugby phrase, but that's the point, isn't it? A to B football. He was playing it well.
Oh, he was, yeah, because he did all his defensive duties, but he was the man taking the fight to Brafey as well, and did that very well. And you know, it was a night for taking the fight, literally, and he had no better man. But I mean, there was a great combination between himself, Ger Calf, and Sam Callanan, and his guest. You know, Ger is what is he now? 37, is he 38? And Sam just 20, you know. And so between the three of them there, and Parkour is in the middle there age wise. So so between those 3 decades, they all they fairly snuffed out whatever threat Brafey had on the night.
I was trying to get Ger Cafferty for a chat. Now, he's the most polite man in Ireland, so he very politely declined and said, no, but I will go and get David Clark for you, because he knew I wanted David Clark
well,
as well.
Well, we're talking about Jack Carney as a deep thinker. If it's deep thinking you want, you know, Ger Cafferty was go as deep as is necessary. It's pity we didn't get him, actually.
Yeah, but it won't surprise anyone that Ger does his talking on the field, but calmly and reacted to that great triumph and was a very satisfied man afterwards, I can tell you that much. But David Clark stepped outside the dressing room. We got so much audio from Ballina after the game. Really interesting chat with Ciarán Tracy on that Final Whistle podcast. Niall Heffernan was brilliant afterwards and contextualised really the performance, acknowledged the quality of the football on show, and rightly dismissed any sense that he should be worried about that in terms of the game itself. But yeah, obviously,
was it you that was talking to when you said what was it? And I can't remember what the question was. And the answer was, well, we won.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, hey, your thoughts on the quality and spectacle. We won. Yeah, no. Because, like, and he did say, like I said, going into the Connacht Championship, that won't be good enough. You know, that was his next answer. So I think they're well aware of that, but they had a job to do. And after the heartbreak of last year, and look, we're all from Mayo, John. If Mayo win an All-Ireland Final 6-4 someday, are we going to care? Not one iota, I would suggest you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what was the final score in the Dublin Donegal semi-final in 2011? It wasn't much more than that.
Yeah.
Dublin weren't beating themselves up for weeks afterwards.
Absolutely.
They were down winning All-Ireland.
Here's David Clark chatting to us after the Ballina victory. They got in dangerous positions a few times in that last quarter, and the defending in front of you, you must be proud of your group.
Oh, look, excellent. Yeah, yeah. This fella's putting their bodies where they probably shouldn't at times, as well as you know, not giving up, keeping on their feet, hands out, taking hits on the bodies, fellas working back, with Evan back there, with Luke back there, you know, fellas working hard. But I suppose they enjoy that, and it's a real team feeling. Massive squad there. It's great for the town to have so many lads wanting to play football. Rugby's becoming very strong, but I suppose for me, football's the only game in town. See the crowd that's out there, you don't get that at too many other sports around this area. And I suppose the feeling we got after it, even watching some of the lads from the team that was presented at halftime, like roaring us on, like that we're although we're a big town, we're a small club. There's a small core group of people who are really involved in the club, and it's a great day for them, so I'm going to go and enjoy it, the rest of it.
Just one final question. Niles Kill telling us you're the first in training, last out of training. You're still loving every bit of this, aren't you?
Yeah, love and enjoy it, but I suppose you want to win. That's the point at all. You want to win. I don't just turn up. I want to do my best. I don't want to let myself down. So if I start turning up late, I'm not going to play well. So I want to play well. I want to win. And I suppose this is the fruits of the last few years. And, you know, really happy for the group and the town and the team.
Great to catch up with David Clark. Love to have had even more time with him, but they were about to start singing in the dressing room again. They have a number of songs, Ballina. They're not ones for struggling for dressing room songs. A lot of talk goes into it as well. I feel like they've been passed down through generations. I did spot David Brady walk in as well with just a crate of beer there and slid it into the dressing room and walked straight out. No speeches, no anything. That's all you need now, lads. But he was one of many Ballina stalwarts who were celebrating on the pitch. It's a brilliant day for the club. Brilliant day for people who love Ballina.
Well, it was. And I think the innovation that Mayo GAA have done of doing what has been done at county level for so many years in introducing the Jubilee teams from 25 years ago is really good. And they did a junior, intermediate and senior. And it really made it a very special day for Ballina, because obviously the 1998 team were there. What a team they were. They were something. And obviously they got to an All-Ireland final, just edged out in the final. But yeah, and some of them looked like they could still talk, I can tell you.
Absolutely, and Mayo Gales, Termakeady as well. Great teams of 1998, Termakeady winning a junior title, and that launched them into much bigger things. They went all the way to senior football. Mayo Gales were celebrated on the Saturday night for their great victory in 1998 as well. And when they were announced, Mike Finnish was doing the announcing there. You were just kind of going, my God, what a team they had. Because I know from a Ballinrobe perspective, we always look back at that final with such regret. But it's the classic, you only see it through the prism of your own eyes. You forget there was an opposition team that were bloody good. So yeah, I love that. And I fully agree with you. Overall, the weekend, unfortunately, it's going to be remembered for the quality of football in that final. But, you know, at the same time, I really enjoyed following those finals, especially the aftermath, chatting to, getting that chance to chat to some of these players after a massive effort over what, 3 months and a whole season of training. It's a great moment for those clubs.
Oh yeah, it is, and I think it was lovely to be able to capture it. And I think for people listening to this pod who aren't club members, I think it gives an insight to what our final whistle pods are all about. And I guess at club level, they become very, very personal and local, and very much community based, if you like, and it's not polished contributions we're going after. We want to get in the moment insights from participants as to what it was like to be part of these great occasions. And I hope that we captured that and did those three finals justice.
Key point here, folks, we have seen an increase during the club championship akin to what we're getting for Intercounty for the first time ever. And that is absolutely just sending so much excitement through the group who are involved in making these podcasts for you, because it's showing the appetite out there for club championship coverage. And maybe it backs up the split season feel that people can properly focus on it is right there. So thanks to everyone who signed up in the last few weeks. Stick with us for some great coverage throughout the next month or two. We're only about 7 or 8 weeks away from Mayo throwing the ball in earnest anyways. And we'll be following the Connacht Championship with great gusto, because why wouldn't we? There is so much enthusiasm for football year round now.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, look at Rob, tomorrow is the 1st of November and there's still football to be played. I think we're going to find out soon enough what appetite Ballina have for the Connacht campaign. They've a quarterfinal match against Fulham Irish in Castlebar. You'd expect them to win that. But if they do, it's the winners of Mike Cullen and Cora Finn in the semi-final, and we'll find out for sure where they sit then. So we'll be looking at covering that. And of course, then we're into wintertime specials, but we won't have too much time for that, Rob. I know you and I have some plans for those, but we need to get those firmed up pretty soon, because before we know it, there's a charity game. I was reading today, I think the proceeds are for motor neuron disease, which is a very, very worthy cause, and that's a pre-season match. I think that might even happen before the end of the year. And sure, as soon as New Year dawns, there's only one place we're going to, and that's the Dome, and then it all starts again.
You do the FBT coverage, John. I never do the FBT coverage. That's where I draw the line.
Have we? We've assigned our responsibilities there, have you? I'm back in the minors. I'm back in the minors again next year, because that's Friday nights.
Oh yeah,
and the under 21s, of which there is more, there will be more
games.
One game. They're Wednesday nights. They're yours. You know?
Yeah, I know. We'll stick with that plan. But for the last few years, my expenses have been much less than yours with the under 20s. So this year, at least, I've got the extra games. I'm looking forward to that. Enough of that. Loads to look forward to. We'll follow the sides with gusto. Great congrats to the Knockmore ladies as well, who are into the Connacht final as well.
Was a good win. That was a good win. Sadly, Mikhail Rovers were beaten in their Connacht semi-final, but Claire Morris won as well in the juniors. So it's big match for Knockmore now, because they're playing Kilcare and Clonbaron, who are of course reigning provincial, Galway provincial and All Ireland champions. And that's a big test for them. But you know, the best of luck to them in that.
It blows our mind that so many people, club members, are signing up in such numbers to back us for a couple of cup of coffees a month, because you want access to the kind of in-depth journalism we do on this podcast and getting as many interviews and content and stories as we can. So thanks for signing up. If you haven't already, what is Patreon? It's an app. Look for it on your app store, on your phones, download it and search for the Mayo podcast. You'll find us there. You'll see how easy it is to sign up. and hopefully you enjoy what you find. For now, though, that's it from us, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, John.
Cheers, Rob.
Talk to you soon, folks.